Well, hello out there in Radio Land. Adam Lepp here, the computer guy, and the multi-purpose, multifaceted, sometimes controversial, but always amusing commentator at the microphone until the top of the hour. And thank you very much for listening. Really appreciate it. If you're driving along, I'll be sure to buckle your seatbelts. Please don't text and drive. Just listen and drive. Turn the volume up, in fact. Drown out all the troubles of the world. Of course, pay attention to the road, but keep the volume on at a good steady level so you can hear some news from the world of technology, some quirky, unusual, offbeat, sometimes humorous news, and I'm even going to comment a bit about my experiences in this new system of rules and controversy that we have currently in the great United States of America. So stay tuned for that. Haven't been really as controversial on the show as we have in the past, but we're going to change that up a little bit today. We get together every Tuesday and Thursday and Monday. Monday between 10:13 a.m. and 11 Eastern, and Tuesday and Thursday about 2:13 p.m. and 3 Eastern time here on The Talking Place, WWGH Radio, 107.1 on your FM dial in the Marion area, and broadcasting online by the power and magic of the internet at WWGH1071.com. Remind you that if you ever miss an adventure, well, I guess that would be appropriate, or an episode of this program, or anything else that we have aired in the last 5+ years. That's since I joined the station. You know, time flies, and it's been 5+ years, which is pretty incredible. Anyway, you ever miss an episode of this or any other program, that's okay. We won't spank you or anything. We understand you get busy, or maybe you really want to listen to it again. That's an even better reason. Go to our website, which is maintained, programmed, and in general curated by yours truly. The website being WWGH1071.com. If you'd like to communicate with me, you can always yell, and maybe I'll hear you, but that's okay. Send me an email. That's even easier. And, you know, we have a private email server, as you probably heard me talk about. Unlike Hillary's private email server, we read all messages. We don't delete any of them. And even if it's just to say, hi, Adam, how you doing? Or, hi, Adam, I hate your show. I love your show. Or, how do you think the Reds are going to do? Whatever your question is, that's fine. I'd love to hear from you. All emails are read and replied to. We don't delete them. Adam at WWGH1071.com. Counting down the days till we have what appear to be a new president and vice president. Of course, there might be some news that will occur between now and then. Certainly, it's been a controversial pre-change of who's in charge there at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. Some recent unfortunate events, and as I say, you know, two wrongs don't make a right. The left-leaning protesters, they've done some very nasty things also, and so have the right-leaning protesters. It's a shame that even if we don't all agree, we can still get along. And I'd like to see more of that. Maybe that will become more commonplace in the next few months. I would certainly hope so. With me, I try to inject humor in everything. Not a lot of humor when there's vandalism, when there's a lot of dangerous name-calling, but maybe we can see the glasses being half full, and maybe life can improve. We can only hope. But if you'd like my opinion on this, two wrongs don't make a right. Let's put it that way. And it's important that we take a look back and realize, as Americans, America was built on independence, on free thinking. And if everybody agreed, the world would be very boring. So if you don't agree, that's fine. But do so in a mature, non-destructive fashion. I think we could all learn a lesson from that. As we get ready to switch presidents to President Biden and Vice President Harris, it'll certainly be a lively news time. And, of course, here at The Talking Place, we're always in the middle of these news stories. Dr. Ron Fineman joins Scott Spears. He joins Glenn just about every week. Talk about current events and prognostications for the future. And, of course, always an opinion or two. And Scott Spears, whom I also call the interviewer to the stars, having his famous or possibly infamous celebrity interviews regularly for your pleasure. Earlier in January, he had Eleanor Clift, a longtime left-leaning commentator, wonderful lady with, again, great opinions. I may not agree with everything she says. I agree with a lot of it, but not all of it. But I still admire her greatly, respect her, and whenever I listen to them talk, I always learn something. And Sam Donaldson, bit of an idol in terms of anchorman reporter. He was recently on. He's been on quite a bit. Still sounds just like he was doing the evening news. So always a good opinion and a good fact. And even if you don't agree, again, it's hard to come away listening to Sam Donaldson and Scott Spears without your brain cells being tickled at least a couple dozen times. Now, in this program, again, I often am not one to shy away from commentary. We're going to have more commentary. I'm going to be discussing fitness clubs, as you probably know. From looking at my Facebook, if you're connected with me on Facebook, or at least you troll my page, that I'm an advocate of physical fitness. I've been going to the gym pretty much every day, sometimes twice a day. It's kind of my road to staying sane in these crazy times we have. It's also a healthy thing to do. It's a good hobby. Gets me out and about. Sometimes I socialize a little bit. And I do believe that if you stay healthy, that will reduce or greatly reduce your susceptibility to communicable diseases. And if you do become ill, your illness will be less pronounced. I've been an advocate for that, and in these times, even more so. But I wanted to discuss an incident, and just in general, what it's like to be a gym person. I guess I'm a bit of a gym rat during these times, and that's coming up later in the show. Don't want to miss it. We also, again, talk about quirky, unusual, funny news stories and technology news and technology opinions. You know, with a new year, we have new products available. You know, the usual, the smart TVs, the smart home devices. I've been increasing my slew of smart home products. I have a Ring doorbell. I have light bulbs that I can control with my phone. I have an Alexa, so when I get up and get ready for my day, I say, Alexa, play the top hits of the 70s. Although I oftentimes will say, Alexa, play WWGH 107.1. And sure enough, the station pops on in a few seconds. So pretty crazy what you can do with those Alexa devices. Just ask her a question, you know, Alexa, what's the capital of Indiana? Alexa, how old is Melania Trump? Alexa, just think of a question. And she's pretty sharp. She always has an answer. So I've been increasing my usage of these smart home devices and probably will be doing more of that in the future. And speaking of fitness, they have these fitness trackers, the Fitbits, and other products that are similar. You wear them on your wrist. It tracks your blood pressure. It tracks your heartbeat, calories burnt, how many steps you walk. Pretty incredible. And it's a watch. It's a watch that does a lot more. Plus, if can be connected to your phone. We'll tell you when you have a phone call, a Facebook message, or anything else. And you can get these devices under $100 on Amazon and other places. So pretty crazy, the kind of stuff, crazy in a good way, the kind of things you can do with technology to make your life better, improve yourself, your well-being, and your overall outlook on the world that we live in. And we can talk about that stuff from time to time. One thing that does come up is I do a lot of, and I've been doing more of this, obviously, with the current world situation. What is it that Adam does a lot of? Well, Adam does a lot of technical support. I go to people's houses or businesses and do assorted things, remove viruses and other what we call crapola. Can you say crapola on the radio? Well, I guess so. Other junk on crapola. My dad always liked that word, so, you know, I think it's appropriate. From the computer, install printers, scanners, and other peripherals. Work on a wireless network. And sometimes I'm even semi-handy, where I might arrange computers, maybe help to mount or move a shelf so that people have the most ergonomically friendly environment for their technology. Of course, people working at home, many times not able to come directly on site. I've been doing a lot of that remotely, where I just log into someone's computer from my desk, and just like I'm sitting in front of it. Now, I can't mount the shelf. I can sometimes help to install a printer if the customer sometimes needs to intervene and follow my instructions or possibly troubleshoot why a printer is not connecting or why it's not printing like it should. So there's limited ability with peripherals. But when it comes to removing the, you know, the, again, the crapola, comes to installing new software, you know, tax season coming, tax software, accounting software, it would come to looking at upgrades. And Windows 10 or Mac doesn't upgrade. It doesn't work like it did before. As long as I can get on the computer, you know, I'm able to troubleshoot it right from my desk, which is pretty nice. Customer doesn't have to get dressed. Of course, neither do I. So you never quite know what the customer, what the tech is wearing when a remote service call is being done. But one thing that is important when you do any kind of thing on the internet, but it's especially important whether you're on a Zoom meeting, you're using a remote access program, is the speed and reliability of the internet connection. Because if the internet is slow, either at your place or the customer's place, it's going to be hard keeping a good remote connection. Of course, it's hard even if you're sitting in front of the computer, but it's especially important if you are logged in and trying to fix something from your desk. Now, it'll be no secret that internet connections do tend to work better if you're in an urban area. In fact, Marion, internet is very good. We have multiple companies who are in rivalry for your business. The cell phone service, especially along 23, is excellent. Really, it's some of the best signal I've ever had anywhere in the Buckeye State, the 4G, the 5G, because sometimes people have a hotspot or the signal is based upon the 4G or 5G mobile. Bottom line is it needs to be reliable, not cut out. Otherwise, it's kind of hard to do remote support or again, have a meeting on Zoom. You might wonder exactly where does internet connectivity, mobile internet connectivity, where does it have the best signal, the best reliability? Well, not surprisingly, according to a recent article, in the Northeast, as the Northeast, and we're kind of on the edge of the Northeast, depends what you would call Northeast. Ohio is kind of like Eastern Midwest, but because of the high population, not surprisingly, the Northeastern part of the country is known to have the most reliable mobile internet coverage. The best overall, and, you know, Donald, he can't tweet anymore, or at least not under his real Donald Trump account, but he might be interested in knowing. Donald, if you're listening, give a listen. The best mobile internet coverage is in the District of Columbia, which isn't a state, it's just an independent city, which is, of course, also the capital, and where, at least for the next few days, Donald and Melania are hanging their hat. Right behind District of Columbia is the nearby state of Delaware, and that's the home of Joe Biden. There's something presidential about this, isn't there? New Jersey, Rhode Island, New York, Pennsylvania, Massachusetts, Ohio. Ohio is right up there in the top 10 for mobile internet connectivity, quality, and speed. After that, Maryland, and a bit surprising, a rural state, North Dakota. So North Dakota, maybe rural, may not have a lot of urban areas, a lot of farmland, maybe because it's so flat. The western part is more mountainous, but the eastern part is flatter. It's known for winds and temperature extremes. It's right up there with high-quality mobile internet coverage. Now, where are the worst states for mobile internet connectivity? Well, not surprisingly, it is our largest state in area, a mountainous state with a growing population and some cities, but most of it is quite desolate. But it's a gorgeous state. I'm not saying anything bad about Alaska, but again, a lot of it is very remote. That is the worst state for mobile internet. After that, Wyoming, Nebraska, Mississippi, Maine, and Vermont. And that's kind of interesting because we have Rhode Island and Massachusetts in southern New England, but in northern New England, Maine and Vermont are bringing up the rear. And after Alaska, we have a sparsely populated state, Wyoming, then Nebraska, which is kind of interesting because Nebraska is only two states down from North Dakota, which is high on the list. Then Mississippi, a southern state with some medium-sized cities, but a lot of rural area. In ranking the states, how do they determine who has the best mobile internet coverage? 75% of the score was based on median mobile download speeds and 25% by 5G coverage. Here in Ohio, we have quite a bit of 5G. I'm a Sprint, now known as T-Mobile customer, and with that merger, my 5G on my phone is excellent. Again, in Marion, for a relatively small city, has great coverage, and that's always been very impressive. So again, not too surprising to see Ohio near the top of the list. Regional variations in service are related to the economics of connectivity. That's according to Anshel Seg, with more insights and strategy. For example, a single cell tower in New York City can serve many more users than a similar tower built in a rural area. What's more, he said, in rural areas, there is more to dig. There is more need to dig infrastructure to support new cell towers, and it takes more time and money to send engineers to update or deploy infrastructure. And that would probably take place in North Dakota. North Dakota is booming a bit. Certainly a lot of wide open space, but again, kind of impressed with the high ranking they have for mobile internet connectivity. Not surprisingly, wireless vendors are focusing their initial 5G efforts on urban and suburban areas that have the greatest concentration of customers and users. That comes from Charles King. We quote him often. He said that means that smaller towns and rural areas can remain underserved for years, and some places effectively never get access to new service. As you may know, in parts of Southeast Ohio, which are rural, but not as rural as places like Alaska, at least not in the cities like Anchorage or Fairbanks, internet connectivity is an issue, and it's hilly in some parts. So even in Ohio, we have a big difference between what you would get in Marion, Columbus, Delaware, and what you might have in the southeastern parts of Ohio. Ohio really is fascinating how diverse we are in quality of service, both mobile internet and traditional broadband. He added that the 3G networks that first enabled effective mobile internet connectivity, and that was almost 20 years ago, they massively changed communications and entertainment. For the vast majority of people and organizations, mobile connectivity represents the norm today. Just consider what happens when mobile networks or services are disrupted. You can't have internet, be it mobile-based, maybe from a hotspot. You don't have broadband. What do you do? You know, really, the internet going out in 2021 arguably is a bigger deal than if your water goes out. In many cases, you know, I've thought about if we had a power outage, that means no internet. I mean, we do have battery backup, but it does have its limitations, plus it's a pain, and you want to limit how many devices are in use. Is that maybe a worse deal than if you didn't have water for a few hours? Well, I would say in 2021, it probably is. Think about how that is different from a couple generations ago. Just how important the mobile internet has become is apparent during the current world situation. Sherry Riggs, she's from Whistle Out. She's the social media specialist, so with her tweeting and Facebooking, she certainly should know about this kind of stuff. People are staying connected with their family and friends whom they can't see because of the pandemic through the mobile internet. That connection is something we're all craving and needing right now. We've also seen a huge strain on broadband connections in the United States during the pandemic. Having a mobile broadband internet connection to back that up is something lots of people have been relying on the last few months. Mobile connectivity obviously drives a lot of the economy and gives people and companies the mobility and access to information that they need to make better decisions more quickly. Jeff Kagan is a technology analyst based in the great city of Atlanta. He said the mobile internet will be important for the lifestyle of the future. We need to remember three things when we leave the house today: our keys, our wallet, and our cell phone. Again, compare that to a generation ago. Going forward, we're only going to have to carry our smartphones because it will do everything. Yes, even your keys. I don't have keys at my house controlled by the phone. I can control my car with the phone, but I just use the key fob, but even that has remote capabilities. But you can, you know, in many cases, unlock or start your car from your phone. You could unlock your door at your house or business with your phone. So even the keys may at some time not be as important as they are thought of here in early 2021. So the mobile internet obviously needs to work, or the Wi-Fi at your home or office to keep these smart devices, like your smart locks, online. And they all work together. What's more, the mobile internet is going to need 5G to keep technological development going forward. Charles King said the significant boost in download speeds offered by 5G will clearly impact mobile entertainment and gaming. In addition, 5G is likely to lead to the development of even more robust mobile applications, as well as new or emerging solutions, including the Internet of Things and connected homes. Again, like I have to an extent, but many people have technology which in their home, which blows away what I have in mind. But, you know, I do like my Ring doorbell. That's an inexpensive item, easy to install. It's very cool, and it's very good for security. So, again, I've come on board a bit, but not as much as you might think a technology person like myself might do. New applications and services that were previously unthinkable or impossible with 4G will be possible with 5G. Many of these will exist in the factory, on the farm, in the classroom, in the car, or even inside of a headset. 5G is more than just about speed. The biggest advantage 5G offers over the other generations of the mobile internet is capacity. Again, that comes from Sherry Riggs, whom we quoted earlier. A single 5G tower will be able to support many more people than a 4G tower. The sheer capacity 5G offers consumers will greatly improve everybody's internet connection. Now, she feels by the end of this year, the majority of the country will have access to 5G from every carrier. Now, we're a bit spoiled here in Central and Mid-Ohio. There's a lot of 5G, and it works very well. And it depends kind of where you are in a particular city. But they've done a really good job, at least from my observation. But we're going to have that expanding rapidly in the next few months. So will it be 5G with gigabit download speeds? No. But the high-band 5G will be available in most major cities across the country. And I've noticed that. 5G, it's fast. It's arguably faster than my broadband at the house, but it's not at the gigabit level. But it will be. Wait and see. It's still very good. Certainly very reliable. I like seeing that 5G on my phone as I'm driving around or walking around. Before 5G's potential to improve the mobile web is realized, consumers will have to put up with a lot of sizzle and not much steak. You get that a lot in technology and almost everything else. Charles King said, to put it kindly, the carrier's claims have been optimistic and tend to paper over the fact that reliably constant 5G connectivity is fairly rare. Again, it is mobile. You always get, all other things being equal, you will get better connection from something with a wire. But 5G is so good, we are definitely blurring out that distinction. Whether it's 4G, 3G, 5G, the carriers are in a marketing game. They have to win against their competitors. A carrier can't say that it's not moving at lightning speeds. If it does, customers will go elsewhere. So a little bit of the advertising, the glass half full, and that's okay as long as they're not lying about anything. They're just being optimistic, which is part of marketing. I have no problem with that. They offer 5G, but it's not available everywhere yet. And where they offer 5G, it's not as fast as it's going to be, as I've observed, but it's still pretty good. It's just the game. That's the way it's always been played in the wireless game for decades. Adam Lepp here on The Talking Place, WWGH 107.1 on your FM dial and broadcasting online by the power and magic of the internet, whether it's on your 5G or 4G or broadband, or probably can't listen too well if you have dial-up, but not a lot of people have dial-up, but satellite internet in some areas. Again, just need a halfway decent, fast internet connection, and you can listen to The Talking Place, WWGH 107.1, anywhere you have a phone, tablet, computer with a web browser. We also encourage you to download the free app TuneIn, available for free on your mobile device. And just search for WWGH 107.1, bookmark it, make it a favorite, and you can listen on demand in seconds. Certainly, it's one of my favorite ways to listen. As I mentioned, we get together every Monday, 10:13 a.m. to 11, Tuesday and Thursday between approximately 2:13 p.m. and 3 to talk politics, technology, interesting news stories, and anything else that I might feel is worthy of these WWGH airwaves. If you'd like to communicate with me, again, make a comment, question, complaint, or other feedback regarding a news story or opinion or anything else that I have enunciated on this program, I'd love to hear from you. Again, the email address on our famous or possibly infamous private email server, adam@wwgh1071.com. Sleep. We all need it, right? Especially in these stressful times. It helps clear the brain and get us ready for a new day. Or I like to take naps sometimes, so maybe the new second part of the day. Stay awake too long, and thinking straight can become extremely difficult. Thankfully, a few winks of sleep is often enough to get our brains functioning up to speed again, according to the experts. But just when and why did animals start to require sleep? And is having a brain even a prerequisite? In a study that can help to understand the evolutional origin of sleep in animals, and human beings are animals, so animals not including Homo sapiens, an international team of researchers has shown that tiny water-dwelling hydras not only show signs of a sleep-like state despite lacking central nervous systems, but also respond to molecules associated with sleep in more advanced animals. Taichi Q. Ito is a professor at Kyushu University, the Faculty of Arts and Science, and a leader in this research. He said, "We now have strong evidence that animals must have acquired the need to sleep before acquiring a brain. So this primitive sea organism doesn't have a brain, but it still needs sleep. I think I know some humans who may not have a brain, or at least in a figurative sense. So even those individuals need some Z's once in a while." While sleeping behavior was also recently found in jellyfish, who are related to hydras, the new study from researchers at the Kyushu University in Japan and the Ulsan National Institute of Science and Technology in Korea found that several chemicals eliciting drowsiness and sleep, even in human beings, had similar effects on this species of hydra. So even though we're extremely biologically, intellectually advanced from these hydras, our sleep mechanism has some similarities, which I think is quite fascinating. Based on our findings and previous reports regarding jellyfish, according to Professor Ito, we can say that sleep evolution is independent of brain evolution. Many questions still remain regarding how sleep emerged in animals, but hydras provide an easy-to-handle creature for further investigating the detailed mechanisms producing sleep in brainless animals to help possibly one day answer these questions. Now, these hydras, they're only a couple centimeters long, almost an inch. That's how little they are. And again, they don't have a brain. They have a diffuse network of nerves, but lack the centralization associated with a brain, which is quite fascinating. But again, they still need sleep. While sleep is often monitored based on the measurement of brain waves, this is not an option for tiny brainless animals. As an alternative, the researchers used a video system to track movement to determine when hydras were in a sleep-like state characterized by reduced movement, which could be disrupted with a flash of light. Instead of repeating every 24 hours like a circadian rhythm, the researchers found that the hydras exhibit a four-hour cycle of active and sleep-like states. More importantly, they uncovered many similarities related to sleep regulation on a molecular and genetic level, regardless of whether or not an organism has a brain. Normally, you'd expect brains and sleeping to be similar, but in this case, not necessarily so. Exposing the hydras to melatonin, a commonly used sleep aid, which we're familiar with as people, and moderately increased the amount of sleep and frequency, while the inhibitory neurotransmitter GABA, another chemical linked to sleep activity in many animals, greatly increased sleep activity. On the other hand, dopamine, we've heard of dopamine, it causes arousal in many animals, actually promoted sleep in the hydras. Professor Ito said, while some sleep mechanisms appear to have been conserved, others may have switched function during evolution of the brain. Furthermore, the researchers could use vibrations and temperature changes to disturb the hydra's sleep and induce signs of sleep deprivation, causing the hydras to sleep longer during the following day, and even suppressing cell proliferation. Investigating more closely, the researchers found that sleep deprivation led to changes in the expression of 212 genes, including one related to PRKG, a protein involved in sleep regulation in the wide range of animals, including mice and fruit flies. And mice and fruit flies are often used in the lab on experiments. You know, laboratory mice, laboratory rats, laboratory guinea pigs. Scientists do some pretty great things with them. Disrupting other fruit fly genes appearing to share a common evolutionary origin with the sleep-related ones in hydras altered sleep duration in fruit flies, and further investigation of such genes may help to identify currently unknown sleep-related genes in animals with brains, like human beings. Taken all together, says Professor Ito, these experiments provide strong evidence that animals acquired sleep-related mechanisms before the evolutional development of the central nervous system, and that many of these mechanisms were conserved as brains evolved. So if you think that only humans and advanced members of the animal kingdom sleep, looks like you would be mistaken. It's fascinating. A primitive sea creature, not even an inch long, needs sleep and has sleep mechanisms similar to human beings and other advanced members of the animal kingdom, apes, dogs, etc. Cool stuff we talk about here on The Talking Place, on the Adam the Computer Guy program and mid-morning coffee break. And what else are we going to talk about today? I mentioned something earlier in the show. We're going to go ahead and be a little controversial. I thought I would share this with you. Anywho, I was visiting a good friend of mine in the great city of Marion early in January. We were going to go to a fitness facility, which he's a member of and has guest privileges. Now, you probably know from viewing my Facebook and kind of hearing me babble that I don't agree with the philosophies regarding the current world state of affairs and the COVID-19 virus. I don't dispute that it exists and that it's a serious problem, but the way that we can counter it and the way we can stay healthy and avoid getting the virus, or if we do become afflicted, to keep the symptoms at the moderate level. I don't agree with what a lot of others are saying. Some people do agree with me. Many people actually have an opinion more extreme than mine. I don't think mine is even that extreme. I think it's logical. I have a science background. I've done research in particle science, as I may have talked about from time to time, and understand more than a little bit about the mechanism of how the virus is spread and how to prevent it. Bottom line is, I am anti-mask. I make no bones about that, no apologies, and make the explanation again. My opinion is based upon my own scientific knowledge from school, knowledge that I've acquired on my own as I've been fascinated by science ever since I knew what science and scientists and labs and that kind of stuff were. Plus, I also know my own body. I know what diseases I tend to get and severity if I do happen to catch them. And I make those judgments and decide what I think is logical. I don't wear masks unless I absolutely have to. And in my case, my mask wearing is kept to a minimum. Also, on a mental level, I just find them extremely uncomfortable and having a major impact on my ability to communicate. Even if we have perfect hearing, all human beings read lips and face movements to an extent, and that includes if you're using you're reading someone else's face movements and lips, or someone is reading yours. And masks have a great impact on the ability to communicate, which is very sad. Someone in the radio business, an audio engineer, you know, combined with my scientific background and natural mindset, that's something which really saddens me. But again, if necessary to go to somewhere where masks are strictly enforced, I may go ahead and wear one, but be assured I'm not happy about it. When it comes to fitness facilities, the idea, and I make no bones about this, my friends, the idea that wearing a mask, even as you walk into a fitness facility, is one of the most idiotic things I've ever heard in my life. And I make no, I make no attempt to water that down because I feel very strongly. Going to the store is one thing. Not that I agree with it, but it's different than walking into a fitness facility. Exactly how the governor's mandate affects the mask requirements at a fitness facility is very vague as I see it. And I've been to many fitness facilities since the mask mandate began middle of last year, and it's enforced or not enforced in different ways. Now, here in Marion, we unfortunately just lost a fitness facility that I had been to previously through another radio station. We did a barter with them. Great place, Anytime Fitness. We've unfortunately have lost that location. And I blame it squarely on the governor and his overdramatization and these ridiculous mandates, scaring people when you should be encouraging people to be healthy. Not only is a gym a good place to go to socialize as a hobby, it, in my opinion, which I believe is a quasi-expert opinion, it will keep you healthier and keep you resistant to communicable diseases. And if you, again, do catch a disease, in this case, COVID, or the other diseases that are common, flu, the cold, etc., the symptoms will be minimal, maybe not even noticeable. Not to mention other benefits of exercise. You live longer. Your heart's healthier. I mean, there's millions of them. I can't go into them because I'd bore you and take up two more shows. And it's unfortunate that these mandates, this overdramatization, as in my opinion, caused this excellent Anytime Fitness location in Marion to close. And I made opinions about that on social media, and again, make no apology. So we do have Planet Fitness, a similar kind of facility. And Planet Fitness has locations and just about everywhere. Many in Columbus, conveniently located one in Marion, pretty much anywhere in the Buckeye State, if you're in a small city or place with higher population, you'll have multiple Planet Fitnesses. And there's no secret, based upon social media postings, that they very strictly enforce the mask mandate. This was known almost immediately after it came into play. They first required masks to be worn when you walk in, when you're exercising, and when you're moving between equipment or going to the bathroom or doing something inside the gym but not directly exercising. There was a lot of backlash on that. I made social media postings telling them what I thought, as did many other people. They did back off a bit, and they said that now you have to wear a mask only when you are not actively exercising. And again, not actively exercising, that's a very vague area as I see it. If you're walking, you're exercising. I mean, even walking between equipment, that's part of my routine because it helps you stretch, helps you stay fluid. And the thing about Planet Fitness is they do enforce that very strictly. And their definition of actively exercising is not the same as mine. So anyway, I mentioned I was visiting a friend of mine who goes there and has privileges. He has the high-level membership. We went there in early January, and he warned me that Planet Fitness doesn't feel the same way that I do about the mask wearing, and that their interpretation of when one must wear one in a fitness facility is not the same interpretation that I and others might use. So we walked in, the guy that checks you in, the attendant, told me to put a mask on, and I said, okay, I did, because I knew that you couldn't walk in there without wearing one. So we started walking around. I was deciding which equipment I was going to use first, and sure enough, he comes over, like it's the biggest issue in the world right now, and tells me I must wear a mask, even if I'm walking around, as long as I'm not actively exercising. And I told him again, if I'm walking around, I'm assessing the equipment, and I'm still stretching, because that's exercise, because walking is exercise, but he would have no part of it. And after we had an exchange of words, I said, we're leaving. It was unfortunate, because I was really looking forward to exercising with my friend, who's also into fitness like I am, but I have my limitations, and so we departed. Now, this is a bit controversial, but I do not believe that wearing a mask is healthy when you are exercising, when you are exerting, when you're breathing more heavily. I don't believe wearing masks is healthy in general. I believe that although they have some benefit, I'm not denying that, the benefit is exaggerated and is overtaken by the potential health risks, the inconvenience, and for many people, the fact that they just can't stand wearing them, like myself. But in a fitness facility, it's completely inappropriate. Now, you could say that the way that Planet Fitness enforces the mandate is consistent with the way it's supposed to be. I don't believe that it is. Also with restaurants, the idea that you sit down and while you're eating, you can take the mask off, but some restaurants say while you're seated, some restaurants will say only actively eating or drinking. And again, actively eating or drinking is a questionable definition. Nobody just continually eats. It's not healthy to keep eating and not take a break. So you take a break for a few seconds, you put the mask back on, get your food particles on it, your germs on it, and then take it off to eat more. I say not. Kind of the same thing with exercise. So I wanted to share that. I try not to be too controversial on this show. Save that for social media, save that for emails, but I felt that relaying this little tidbit to you might be something that would be a viable topic for this program. Please email me. Let me know what you think. Would you like to be a guest on the show? Would you like to debate how you feel about these topics with yours truly? Love to hear from you, Adam at WWGH1071.com. I certainly do encourage you to exercise, whether you're more comfortable doing it at your house. I have no problem with that. Certainly, you can't beat the hours, you can't beat the music, you can't beat the dress code. But if you are thinking of a way to spend some extra dollars, join a fitness facility. However, unfortunately, I cannot give you any recommendations for one here in the great city of Marion. So you may want to search the internet, ask your friends, look at social media, etc. Also, be sure to visit our website, WWGH1071.com, to listen to archives of almost every show for the last 5+ years, but also find out about our other hosts. Mike Wilson, of course, the famous interviewer to the stars, Scott Spears, Glenn Coble, the lovely Linda Sims, Pastor Steve Whitaker, and much, much more. As my mama always said, time flies when you're having fun, or at least when you're yapping a lot, which of course I do. And that means our time together has come to a conclusion. I thank you for listening. Again, please send me an email. Please visit our website. Comment on social media. Become a fan of our Facebook page. Search for WWGH 107.1. Our listenership grows daily, and it's because of listeners like yourself that happens. I consider the station to be the best talk station in the whole world, and we're only getting better. So you wait and see. 2021 may have started out as a bit of a rough year for the world in general, but for this radio station, it is going to rock. Adam Lepp saying goodbye until we talk again here on The Talking Place, WWGH Radio. See you later, alligator. Oh,
thought of what she told me nearly made me lose my head. Her, reminded her of what she said. See you later, alligator, at the wild crocodile. See you later, alligator, at the wild crocodile. Can't you see you're in my way now? Don't you know your grandpa's style? Pretty daddy, you know my love is just for you. She said, I'm sorry, pretty daddy, you know my love is just for you. Won't you say that you'll forgive me and say your love for me is true? I said, wait a minute, daddy, I know you mean it just for play.